So, we are the third of a series on Birchas HaShachar, good morning Torah world. And we're going to discuss Birchas HaTorah. And we, both men and women, have to say Birchas HaTorah. And we're going to get into the concept of the reality of what the blessing is of Torah. Now, as being the director of the Kollel, if I didn't have what to say on this matter, I probably should quit my job because, that's what we do as a Kollel. We learn Torah. As we've learned from the last two classes, that when we look at the words of the tefillah and we look at the words of the bracha, we tend to realize that there's a lot more going on here in these brachas and in these tefillahs than meets the eye. We talked about the aspect of Moda Ani Lefanecho, the Moda that we get up and we realize that Hashem has given us an opportunity to merge our body to soul. Then we talked about saying Ashi Yatza, where even more so we have agreed in the aspect that the same way we could get rid of our physical excretement and we allow our sweat and our body waste to go out, so to our spiritual, and that's the Pella, that's the wonderment, that is the absolute wonderment of mankind, that both man and Aleph and Dam, that man is both physical and spiritual all at once. And we lead right into the blessing of Birchas HaTorah, which Baruch HaTorah Hashem Elokim HaKolam, Asher Kishon V'Sasev V'Sivon Lasok B'Divrei Torah. So it's a very interesting word to use. Lasok B'Divrei Torah. We're going to be osik. We're going to get involved in Torah. We're going to work on it. It's going to be, as we know very much in Judaism, we believe Adam Amul Yulad, that Kil Amul Yulad, that we were born to work. So Osik by Torah means that we are going to be Osik, we're going to get involved, and we're going to be willing to work on Torah. Now, that seems surprising because, for some of us, you know, I mean, at least we when we take a child, a boy for his upshon, they bring him to the Rebbe, they put a little honey on the letters, and we say the Zisa Torah. Torah is very sweet. So right off the bat, we're instilling a very important concept in the beginning of the day that you want sweetness, you want happiness, it takes work. It's not automatic. It's not the things that come easy. You don't enjoy as much, as Mara famously says. Person rather have nine, right, carbon. He rather have his own what he worked for than and someone gave him more stuff. So we are very much, very much osik b'Torah. Now, it's very appropriate because we have a very interesting lashon, a very interesting language of. In the Ala Nisim of Chanukah, which is coming up next week, very exciting. But we say is that the Zaydim Biyad Oiske Torasecha. The Zaydim are the ones that make litzanis, the ones that make fun. Biyad Oiske Torasecha. In the hands of the ones that are going to be involved, they're going to work on Torah. So, what does it mean to be lasik b'divrei Torah? So, we start off with a very interesting thing, which is last, if you remember, two parshas ago, which we have in the famous, conflict between Avimelech and Yitzchak, which is that they kept fighting over the wells. So these wells have very funny names. They have very interesting names. And it's worthwhile to look at these names. I want to come up with something quite astounding. So the first well, right, what's called by Vayikra Shem HaBe'er, the first one that Yitzchak shepherds took, and they said it's our water. They called it Asek. The word Asek, kind of the word Isek. The similar word it's spelled with a shin instead of a sama, but it's the same root, which is that they struggled with it. They struggled for this water. And then we have another well, right? The next well they got was called Sitna. Because Sitna, as Rashi says, is again, it's a nuisance, a damage, nuisement in old French, right? There was a friction to get the well. the well. And then finally, the last well was Rechovos. Rechovos, which means that Hashem finally gave him ample space. So kind of one of the things that's very important to point out, one of the Mepharshim say, this has to do with the three temples, the three Beis Hamikdashes. The first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because we were too involved in our own lives and not involved in connection to God. Then the second Beis Hamikdash was Sitna because they fought, the argument, there was Sinna's kingdom, there was argument. And then finally the third temple, the third Beis Hamikdash will be Rehovah. So finally be there, will have ample space for everyone. But if that doesn't really have to do with our topic, it comes out to something much, much, much more subtle, much more important. Isaac, we believe that when it comes to Torah study, that you have to be Isaac in the Torah study. You have to roll up your sleeves and you have to work on it. And it takes time and effort and back and forth. Now, what happens? We say Isaac, Sivana Lasa B'Divrei Torah. Then, V'harev No Hashem Akin is Divrei Torah. I have known that the Torah should come mixed with us. So how do you get a proper understanding of Torah? So if you ever went, you know, this story is credit to Rabbi Fleischer, right? He tells the story of this young newly married couple, and the young chassin is a very big, you know, learner, and he's a fire and everything. And his wife initially asked him to let's learn together, right? So they sit down to learn. You know, very romantically. And the husband starts off and the wife asks something and the husband jumps on her and says, what are you talking about? There's no way that it means that. Rush doesn't bend. Starts screaming. And in the middle of his whole screaming and whole thing, he knows that his wife is crying. She stops and says, why are you crying? She said, because he's screaming at me. All I want to do is learn. And he's like, this is learning. And if you haven't been to yeshiva, they do that. They scream at each other, they fight, and they get loud, and they get angry, right? And what is it really? As the Talmud, the Gemara says, that they sharpen the sword against each other, they fight, but they walk out hand in hand, they walk out in love. Why? Because to get to a real MS, to get to a real truth, sometimes you need contrary opinions to be able to sharpen your ideas and sharpen your concept. So, The first well was an Asik, the second well was Sitna, and then what we get to is Rechavos, which is the next Ashabach Abadim. Then we start understanding the sweetness and the beauty of the Torah. So if we expect the Torah to be automatically come easy, so then we're going to be quite disappointed. And we see this by many people sometimes, sadly, right? When it didn't come to them when they were younger, or they had issues, and they go off and they come back and they're upset and angry that they wish they would learn. And I always tell people, it's like, it takes work, and sometimes it takes maturity. So you might find someone that when he's 19 or 18 was not interested in all learning Talmud, learning Gemara, learning Torah, and when he turns 25, 30, he has more interest in it, he enjoys it very much. But the truth is, the payrolls, the fruitness of the sweetness that we get into, the sweetness of Torah, what we tell the child, the three-year-old child, that there's sweetness here. This real sweetness, this sweetness, the vash, comes only based on this. If we understand that there's an asik, the same way when we have anything that's good in our life, we work hard for. Anything that we want, that we feel accomplished by, is based on the fact that we have worked for it and we've gained it. So we start off as, we say, we want to lasa b'divrei Torah. We want to be osik b'divrei Torah. And how you be osik b'divrei Torah? By searching and working for the truth. And sometimes it takes conflict. Sometimes it takes going back and forth with people. But the end game is you get an open space. You get clarity on it. And we'll see the tremendous power of Torah. The tremendous koach of the Torah. Now, there's a question, right? Why would we say, Chazal established the bracha of Torah on Isaac, right? Let me ask you something. If someone is reading Torah, right? Does he not get access to Torah? If someone's listening to Torah, right? What does it mean to be Isaac in Torah? So I asked this question one time on a Shavuos night, very early on in my career in, in Aish. We used to have Shavuos night there. And I asked a simple question. I said, we're going to see later on. We see that Torah is greater than everything combined. If equal to Torah, the Chofetz Chaim says that for every word of Torah, you get equal to 630 mitzvahs, like it is 630 mitzvahs. So if you did if you read the Parsha of Shua, or if you learned the Torah for an hour, count every minute, times it by 613, you got a lot of mitzvahs. So I have a simple question. The answer is obvious, but why it's so is not always so obvious. So we're sitting and learning Torah. And there's outside this little ice. And this little cute little old lady is walking by, and she slips on the ice. Right? Why should we get up from our Torah study to pick up this and help this old lady? Now, before someone takes this out of context and like this only uses this one line, Rabbi Heyman says, don't help an old lady. I want to be clarified. It's obvious that you should go help the old lady. But it's not always obvious why that is so. And people are going to say the answer, we talked about this in the past, the answer, well, because if you don't, you have to, there's a mitzvah and you have to help and everything. And I think there's something much more fundamental than that. And this is in the Pasuk Lasa. Right? If you are willing to ignore a lady who fell, an old lady that fell on the ice, then you're not learning Torah. You're not being osik in Torah. If your Torah study enables you to ignore a lady and the ice, it's forget about the mitzvah. Of course it's partial to the mitzvah. Of course it's chasen. Of course you have to help. And you're chasen shait if you don't help. But you're also not doing Torah. Because the mitzvah of Torah, the bracha we make on Torah is last of the Torah. You have the osik in Torah. So if you learn Torah for, and you don't come out of Torah more sensitive, if you don't come out a better person, you not make osik in Torah. The blessing, the pleasant of Torah is that it's more than this knowledge base. It's not this, I understand something. It's a changing. It pushes off the Yitzhara. It gives healing. It gets people to better marriages. It creates a better person. Not because even if I'm just learning about the most abstract thing, I'm learning about what happens if an ox goes not ox. What does that have to do with my marriage? Well, some people might be able to answer that better. But, right? But an ox, what does it have to do with it? It does nothing. But it engages you in understanding of sensitivity. It's not this knowledge base. It's all secret Torah. If I'm not, our Gedolim are great Torah people, are people that are great, not because of their Torah knowledge, but because they are more sensitive to everything. But Reuven Feinstein spoke about Reuven Feinstein. And he said something about the Gula Convention. He said, you know, everyone's talking about his greatness and about how he's so nice to people. And he said, I just want to say one thing. Right? That's Torah. But the fact that people are talking about certain things of being nice is telling on that, on us as a community. We have to be more kind. And he said, if you're not, you might not be a smart person. You might not have the brains to understand a Tolstoy. He said, but you can't understand to take someone for a birthday if they're alone. You can't understand kindness of the Torah. The Torah is chesed. That's literally what it is. Torah creates kindness. So, You want to say, I don't understand Torah. It's not my thing. Right? Okay, fine. But take out the Osaka Torah. Be Osaka in what the Torah wants from us. And this is a powerful thing. The Ben Ishchai says that we know Torah, where we say Torah is R. Torah brings light to people. Torah brings a tremendous light. Right? R. Now, what's the mitzvah of learning Torah? The mitzvah of learning Torah is that you're supposed to learn Torah with your mouth. You're supposed to speak out from your mouth. Look, listen to this. R, Aleph Vav Reish is light. So the light that comes out of your mouth, of your path, is Pei Hei. Aleph Vav Reish Pei Hei, if you scramble, is Refuah. When you speak out Torah, you create Refuah. You create healing. Both healing, emotional healing, physical healing. So the koach of Torah is that I'm also in Torah. But I'm also in Torah, which means that I believe that this affects people in ways that, you know, we can get rid of COVID. sit down and learn Torah. And also be careful. But that's what it's talking about. The R of Torah, the R in the Pam makes you fool. Now, what do I mean by talking about Torah? What do I mean by Osik in Torah? So I'll tell you a personal story, actually. You know, Baruch Hashem, a long time ago, Baruch Hashem didn't date very much, but when I was dating, right, so I don't know what the custom is now, but the custom then was, especially if you came from a yeshiva to yeshiva, so at some point in your date, you would say over a Devar Torah. Now, if you know me, I'm not going to do that. Because, to stop and say, okay, now I'm going to say a Devar Torah. And I actually bothered my wife a little bit. But she's smarter than me. She's more in tune than I am. And she realized that how many times during the conversation, right, that I was quoting a Gemara. I was saying, oh yeah, that's a B'chaim. And that's, or this, oh, that's the story of this. Or that's the Torah. Also, the Torah doesn't mean that I have to sit there and learn Torah. Of course, you have to know the knowledge. But also, the Torah says, take the stories, right? There's such powerful, even article English books of Gedolim. And ingrain how they look at the world via Torah lens. I think I one time said a while back on, I don't know if it was on the video or I said, in a speech, I said that a Kola rabbi, it will, should be able to even bring up a golf game, bring up the experience of golf game to Torah level. Right? It's a long game. You talk Torah. You can tell a story. You can tell an analogy. Also, with Torah means that I'm engaged in Torah. Engaged in Torah is even when I'm in the regular world, I can be engaged in Torah. That's what we're talking about. So there's a beautiful blessing here. There's a blessing of that we can be always be also in Torah. What happens if you're also in Torah? Hashem ingrains, he mixes, he makes part of our life and our children's life, and Amcha Beis Yisrael and the nation of Beis Yisrael, that they all are part of the Torah world. And this is a very powerful thing. As we know, the Gemara says, it tells us, but the Gemara says it, right? That what Hashem creates, Hashem said, you in this world, your job is to mikadosh this world. And what you do is you connect to the upper world. When you connect, when you create a connection to my, above, to my Torah, right? And when you connect to that, you bring Kedusha from above down here. Right? I don't know if anyone ever thought about this, but why do we understand things, right? How do we understand, like, we have these, like, abstract concepts in Torah. We look at them, we read them, right? And we understand them. And we've all experienced this. A rabbi saying a Dvar Torah, or you hear a shir, and all of a sudden you might be like, oh, you know what? That makes sense, and that's why this is so, right? Or something like that. Where did that come from? Well, where did any of our understanding of Torah? Let me try to explain what, like, we find this a little bit more. Right? Torah is God's thought process. What right does us human beings have a right to mix, mishra'i, to mix into God's thought process? And what capacity do we have to even understand it? Right? Bereishis. Bereishis barleikim. We can say the words. But Bereishis, what? What gives us that ability? The ability is Hashem mixes it in with us. He's with us, right? We announced by Moda Ani that we are neshama is there, and Asher Yatsu that the man and the physical and the spiritual is being. You know what the beauty, the sweetness of Torah is? The sweetness of Torah is that we are actually being connected to God's thought process. I mean, people pay millions of dollars to have a 1 hour lunch with an investor, Warren Buffett, or something like that, or if whatever the top of your profession is. And Hashem is saying, here, I'm an open book, right? Just connect to me. Just give me the Torah, right? Be my love and what's it called. Now, it's very interesting because what's interesting is that we have a bracha here and it almost seems like it's a tefillah. It almost seems a prayer. Right? We say, look, that we should be, that the Torah should be in our mouth and the mouths of our nation and it should be for us and our children, which, by the way, you always have to daven for continuously, that your children should continue having this, that they want to be this. But it's an interesting thing. And it gets even funkier when we learn a Gemara, where the Gemara says that the reason why the first place of Mikdash was destroyed was because they did not make Birchus HaTorah. The Birchus HaTorah learned Torah. They were learning Torah. Why would they learn Birchus HaTorah? It's such a powerful thing here. It's almost similar to what we said before about the person not being also with Torah if he's not willing to do the chesed of picking up a person. He's not learning Torah. If we don't give the context of what are we about to engage in, what we're able to do, Hashem is giving us access to his brain trust. He's giving us access to how he thinks this world should be run. And if we don't ask Hashem that we want to have this ability to not only understand it, be able to communicate it, and to be able to ingrain it in ourselves and our children, we're not recognizing the offer on the table. The biggest chaval in Yiddishkeit is that most people, for sure in the secular world, but even in the free world, they don't even give themselves the time or the appreciation of the offer on the table. What Hashem is giving us. So the beauty of this Birchas HaShachar of establishing is, give ourselves at least 5 minutes in this tefillah to establish what our day could be like. But what's the offer on the table? The offer on the table is that Hashem says, I have not. You will be mixed in with me. Your knowledge will be my knowledge. You'll be bringing understanding in this world from above that to bring into this world. Right? There's a great thing at the Gula Convention was this past week. There's always this great question and answers, and they have, two Gdolim. But this year it was Rosham Kamnetsky from Arla Piansky, both people that spoke here in Denver, Nicola, and other places. Right? It's just so beautiful that they have an approach that's so crystal clear. It's so clear it's coming from something more than just them. It's the Torah, what's called Das Torah. But if you don't recognize that in the beginning, if you're not willing to make a blessing on that opportunity, so how would your Torah be approached? Sally, sometimes intellectual. Sometimes it becomes just an intellectual exercise. Right? But we're saying, no, wait a second. We're serious about this. We want to roll up a system, last it with different Torah. We want to be osik in it. We want to be engaged in it. And then what we want to do is we want to understand a tefillah. We have a tefillah to Hashem that make it that we understand it. Make it that we want it to be part of our life. Make it that it beats in our heart. It beats in our very essence. Torah, Torah, Torah. Right? The joke that used to be in Lakewood is that if you miss the shmooze, it's okay. If you miss one of the Meshiva shmoozing, right, it's okay. Because they probably talked about Torah. That's what they talked about. How important Torah is. I mean, it's true. It's 100 ways, different ways. But that's what's going on here. So the Erev Noh. So what's this Erev Noh? What are we trying to get? So look at this Levus. Levus was a posting. He says that Birchus HaTorah is in the grouping of a Birchus HaNenim, where we have two types of brachas. We have a bracha of mitzvah. I'm about to shake a little of Esrik. I'm going to light the candles, Shabbos candles, and Menorah. I'm going to say a bracha. That's a Birchus HaMitzvah. Birchus HaTorah has, it's actually probably a little bit of both, is a Birchus of, I'm about to make a shakel. I'm about to eat bite into a nice juicy steak, and I make a shakel. I'm about to eat a pastry, and I make a mizonah. So I'm about to step into learning Torah. I'm about to be also for Torah. And he says, You make a bracha. Why? Because it's so sweet. You can enjoy it so much. It's going to be so great for you. It's going to be so exciting. You're going to love it. You're going to have such enough of it. Right? And this is what David HaMelech says. Lulei serosha shashua azavati. What would you be lost? It's like, I can't exist without this Torah. Without this Torah, I would be nothing. Why? Because I wouldn't have enjoyment in life. As someone famously asked, I think it was apparently Steinman, I believe someone asked him, he said, Rabbi, he said, if I support your yeshiva, right, will I have access to Torah in the world to come? He said, yeah, you'll have access to our Torah in the world to come because you're supporting your yeshiva. So he said, so why do I just support yeshiva? Why do I have to learn Torah? Right? Why? So apparently he told me, he said, You're right, you'll have a war to come. But man, you gave up on the geschmack and the beauty and the enjoyment of this war, of understanding this sweetness of Torah. What's called the Dachi Noyam, the beauty and the sweetness of the Torah. So, right, we don't always have the role of learning Torah, but we do have the role because, right, when we encourage people, even if we're not the ones that are actually learning Torah, when we encourage people, and there's big room for women have to learn Torah. That's why you make a better Torah. There's plenty of Torah that you need. You need the whole Shulchan Aruch on Chesed, the whole Shulchan Aruch on Tefillah, there's a whole Shulchan Aruch on all the mitzvahs that you have to do. And Torah itself is part of your being. It's who you are. But in more part, when you support the Torah of your spouses, of your siblings, of your parents, of your children, right? That when you encourage them to go out, I want to tell you something. When I first started off as night seder coordinator in Aish, right? So my job was to get people to come learn. And most of the time, the same answer happened. I said, Rabbi, I would like to learn, but my wife needs me at home. And I always told them, you know what? I'll call your wife. I'll speak to your wife. Because I guarantee your wife is more happy than you should go learn. And Baruch Hashem, I think I've been proven right. Because most of our spouses are going out and learning every night. Right? Most, they're out there. And of course we want them to be home. But we're much happier when they come home after a night of learning. We understand that they're a better person. They become a bigger person. They become a better thing. That's the energy of it. The energy of Torah. It's the Mesuk Medevash. For Neivet Sofim. Right? The Chavetz Chaim says this amazing thing. He said, Devash is so, if you take a piece of bread, and you put it in Devash, it'll disintegrate, it'll become Devash. Right? It says, even if you put something that's not kosher into Devash, that's why if you have like pieces sometimes that crystallize in the Devash of the bee, it's probably not a problem. Why? Because the Devash overcomes anything negative. He said, that's Torah. Right? Some of us have negative attributes to us. Sometimes some of us have negative things about us. But when you dive in, when you let the Devash of Torah surround you and crystallize you, you become a different person. It's obvious if you met anyone that studies Torah. They're different people. They have midos. And by the way, if they don't have midos, what's the story? They weren't Isaac B'Torah. They were learning Torah. There are many people, sadly, that could have very intellectual, you know, they run after intellectual, ideas of the Torah, but they're not being also been Torah. If you're also been Torah, you become a changed person. You become something that's more. And that's what the bracha says. It says, b'fi amcha. Why all of a sudden this is my bracha, right? When you're about to eat into ice cream, you make a bracha of that shakol niyabi devara should be for me and the whole city. They're not enjoying the ice cream, right? Here we say, it's in the whole place. Why? Because if also Torah, if we understand that the goal of Torah is as when the Klaisel came to Har Sinai, they came as one person, one man, one heart. And the goal is to be that it's not just for ourselves, it's for other people. Right? As Rav Shimon Shkop Yufi writes in his Adam and Shai Yosher, he says that you know what you have to do? He says counterintuitive. Right, because we always hear about the fact of ego. Don't feed the ego. Don't feed the ego. He says you're right. Don't feed the ego, but you have to feed your ani. You have to feed yourself. You are yourself, and when you learn Torah, you become a bigger self. And what happens is you expand yourself, you expand your eye to your spouse, and then you expand it to your children, and you grow your ani, you grow your eye, your circle of eye to a community, and then it becomes to a nation. And then it becomes to the world, right? But it's always the same ani. But that ani is not ani. That I, it's my anochi. I need Torah, and that's what Torah makes me great and service me. My Torah, it gives me the ability to expand my eye to include everyone. And that's why in the bracha itself, it says, "V'fi amcha." We daven, we say that it's not only that it should be sweet, it should be pleasant in our mouth. It should move on to other people in the world, other people in the nation. That's the concept of Ishecha B'Levecha. That's the Torah's concept. So we have this reality. We have this beautiful approach to the bracha of the Birchas HaTorah. So we would start off and think that the Birchas HaTorah is like a mitzvah, right? I'm about to do a mitzvah, I make a bracha. And we say no. It's establishing a whole bunch of stuff. Number one, it's establishing that the way you get to real Torah is your osik Torah. If you're willing to work on it, and it means you go back and forth, you struggle with it, you work on it, you argue sometimes, but you get to an open plane of emes and truth, and therefore you dive into that should become the Erev. It should be a taruvus, it should be a mixture. It should be ingrained in us so much that our lives are also good Torah. Right? Many people make this bracha, right? And we'll see, hopefully maybe next week, that we say a few, read a few Torah things. We read Torah. Because for some people, Nabuch, this is the whole Torah for the next 10 hours. They got to run out to work, and maybe they'll get tonight said, right? But they're still saying this bracha. You know why? Because they're also good Torah. If their Torah comes along with them into the business world, if the Torah comes along with them into the real world, if the Torah ingrains them chesed, it creates them avodah, then what they've done is make a tefillah. That's what's going to last. That's going to last not only to your mouth. You're going to be refuah. You're going to be health. You're going to be greatest to other people, but also to your children and to your tzetzet, to your fellow, to your descendants. Why? Because you're not giving over an ism. You're giving over who you are. You're giving over Hashem's thought process to them. When we do that, we realize it's sleekness. We get alive. As one of the tells of Hashem to say, I'm a shik, I'm a drunk from the Torah. That's how intoxicating it is. And if you realize the Koch HaTorah, and when we realize how it affects us and also affects our spouses in a way so positive, they come home so much more in a better mood, right? I always tell the story that there are times where, I was a teenager and I came home and I was very like angry and I was upset and everything. And my father would be like, okay, you gotta go to the night seder. And I'd be like, I'm still angry, but I would learn night seder and I come home and I couldn't be angry anymore. Cause I just learned for an hour, right? How could you be angry when you've been just given the opportunity? How could you be lazy? How could you be not nice when you just give the opportunity to Hashem is giving you His wisdom. He's opening up. I mean, when we have lunch with anyone, great, we're excited. So that comes. So our job is to encourage people. Our job is to support it. And our job is to be osikim. That's the blessed bracha. So we already have gone to step three of the waking up in the morning and recognizing that, wow, this is not just going to be, another day in the life of check. We finish this day. It's a day of connection between physical and spiritual. It's a day of getting rid of the baggage that we've had, getting rid of the treatment that we want to get rid of, and then be osik in God's wisdom. That's a great start to your day. That's what we're looking towards too. We'll continue next week on the rest of this bracha.
Thank you very much.
No problem.